This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Good Friday to you as we continue along on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. Don't want to miss that. Because, again, Ron and I will be off Monday for 4th of July, so it's like your last good, the bad, and the dumb until Tuesday, and that's just too long right now. So, you know, you would just go, oh, my God, when's the next one? Can I hang on to the weekend? And we're going to go, no, you got a weekend and an extra day. And you'll be like, oh, no, I can't. And, you know, so stick around for that coming up. Again, we are buzzing this morning about two bits of news that came out of nowhere yesterday. Kevin Durant saying, yeah, you know what? I kind of want out of here in Brooklyn. And he does it on a day that the NBA was waiting on, NBA free agency, which started at 6 o'clock last night, and all of the moves, and Jalen Brunson's going to the Knicks, and this guy's staying here, and that guy's staying there, and all of those things, and all of these players that are, you know, coming and going. Durant's news is the biggest because he's the best player, and now teams will be scrambling. If they're interested, they'll be scrambling to put together the right package to Brooklyn, who seem to be open to the idea that Kevin Durant should be playing somewhere else. It's a sad day for Nets fans, ones who grew up with the team when it was in New York and then in New Jersey and now in Brooklyn. It's a sad day for them because this was the promise of a championship, and they never even got to the Eastern Conference Finals. It is a sad day because this 3 years ago, and it happened 3 years ago to the date yesterday, June 30th, 2019 was the day that Kevin Durant landed in Brooklyn and went, yep, you know what, I'm here. And remember, Brooklyn paid him a year off when he was recovering from his injury, and basically while he gave them outstanding basketball for the time that he was on the court, this never gelled into the powerhouse that it could have been and what it was promised to be. And now Kevin Durant wants to leave Brooklyn and they've got to start all over again. And of course, the other big news, USC, UCLA, leaving the Pac-12, joining the Big Ten, as now we've got conference wars, as the Big Ten is trying to match up with the SEC for dominating power in the college football landscape. Yes, it involves the other sports, but in reality, this is about college football. We'll get to those stories and also a little bit more. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. This is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Oh, the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we get you ready for the three-day holiday weekend. Happy birthday, America. What's the good of the day?
You know, you might see this as a bad.
Okay.
I kind of see it as an awesome.
All right.
Right, and you know what? I'm not saying you in particular. You probably will see this as awesome as well. But a Denver couple were stunned when a delivery was mistakenly delivered to their house. Sorry for the doublespeak.
I saw this.
They saw his car pulling up, trunk popped open, and out comes the Stanley Cup being
How
delivered to their
house. How did this happen?
Well, apparently their address is one number off of Gabriel Landeskog?
Landeskog? Okay, all right, this makes sense.
So it was just one number off. I mean, I don't know if the street name is the
so
same.
So they're neighbors to Gabriel Landeskog.
They're neighbors. I mean, he lives in the same neighborhood. I think it's one of those things like, you know, hey, I live on, you know, Blooming Trail instead of Blooming Court.
Right.
Or something like that. You know, something weird like that. But yeah, I mean, how awesome would that be?
I think it'd be great.
See a driver pulling up in your driveway, like, what's this? And then out comes the Stanley Cup.
I kind of didn't think, was it the guy in the white gloves and
no,
stuff?
No, I see. That's what I thought. I thought he traveled around.
I thought
around.
He showed up with it.
Who we found out is the vice president of the NHL or something.
Well, they had it in the parade, so luckily this couple decided not to keep it.
Yes.
Like they went, oh, no, this isn't ours.
Well, I don't think they let it out of their sight right like that, right?
Yeah, they went, oh.
I don't think that's ours. you got a sign for it. Yeah, they're not leaving it on the porch.
You take one look at the couple, you're like, you don't look like a hockey player.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a thing here for you. You need to. Why am I giving him a Canadian accent? It was probably someone way nowhere near a Canadian accent. But anyway, you got a sign for this thing here, and you got to see sign. What is it? Oh, you don't know what it is? And they show it to you. Like, yeah. At that moment, you got to make a decision. Do you go? I kind of know who this goes to, but I'm going to keep it for a little bit. And I'll deliver it to him.
Yep. Or make him come over and get it.
So yeah, maybe they're good friends with Gabriel Landeskog. Maybe he's part of the community yard sale and he buys the lemonade from the stands in the neighborhood.
Fill it up with lemonade.
Yeah.
Why not?
I hear that all the time here in Nashville. I got people like, oh, yeah, so-and-so lives in my mom's neighborhood, like a Titan player. Like, oh, yeah, he shows up for kids' lemonade stands and he participates in the this or that or the neighborhood thing and... Like, that's kind of cool. Maybe Gabriel Landeskog is kind of that neighbor.
You know what? The keeper of the cup, he was there, and he did admit that they couldn't really see the number of the house.
Okay.
So they just said, like, well, just go up and knock. What's the worst thing they say? Hi, who are you guys?
Yeah.
So guess what happened? Hi, who are you guys?
Great.
But they said they got to open it all the way. They got to, take photos with the cup. He got to rub his fingers over some of the engravings on the cup.
How
fantastic is that?
That is fantastic.
And no harm, no foul, because it was being delivered to, was it Gabriel Landeskog?
Yeah, Gabriel Landeskog.
Because he was going to take it to the Dodgers Rockies game.
Yes, he is the captain, so he probably got first dibs on taking
He was still able to get it to the Dodgers Rockies game that
awesome.
Evening. So
that's great. I saw the parade yesterday, man. I got a little Denver sick. Missing Denver. Yeah, I was. I saw the parade, and a lot of it is on social media. I've got so many friends from back there that went showed up, tried to take some pictures. It was loaded with people. I have to say this. One of my friends, and I'm not going to call him out, but I probably should. He posted a picture of the crowd, and he went, "Look at this, Denver." And I'm like, oh, a big crowd showed up to celebrate a sports championship? Oh, my God. You might as well just shut them all down now. It's like there's no difference in the crowd you guys had for the Stanley Cup than anything that goes on in Boston or anywhere else in America when your team wins a championship. Don't pretend like it's like you've done it better. Like I've seen you just shoot a picture of a large crowd and it literally could be any shot of any championship parade. I mean, come on. You see the Cubs when they won the World Series a couple years ago? I think it was everybody in the world that was a Cubs fan descended on Chicago.
I think that's the standard, right? Wasn't it like the second largest city in Illinois that day or something like that?
Exactly.
Something stupid.
Now, another one of my friends who lives in Tampa, that's where he's from Florida. He spent some time in Colorado and he said, "Hey, I want to congratulate all my friends in Denver on their team winning the Stanley Cup. And it must have been really awesome to enjoy hockey for the two months that you paid attention to it."
Ooh.
I was like, that's true.
But coming from Tampa.
Good point. Yeah, I know. Coming from Tampa of all places. I know, right? Like, don't tell me that you guys are calling sports radio in Tampa complaining about a blue line shift in game 7 of the regular season on a Tuesday in December. Please.
That was that's another positive that came out of the story or the parade. And forgive me, I'm showing my hockey knowledge right here. Who was the guy who scored the overtime goal?
Nazem Kadri?
Yes.
Yeah.
He showed up to the parade wearing a shirt that said "Too Many Men."
Yeah, that was really, really cool. By the way, he's now my daughter's favorite hockey player because she said he was cute. My daughter's at that age now.
Yeah, that's
she doesn't do like the "I like the best player." She's now looking through Avalanche pictures.
I don't really know, but that sounds about
right.
That's
the guy. I like him. I like him. You know, so I'm like, okay, here we go. All right. I knew that day was coming.
Makes sense.
One of the young players on the Avalanche, 21-year-old Byram, I think his name was. He came off the truck, like he came out into to sign some autographs, and he was holding two beers, and he was trying to get back on the truck, and the police wouldn't let him. They thought he was a fan.
Yes.
And the fans had to convince him. They had to convince him. No, he's really a player. Like he's a defenseman. He's 21 years old. He's a kid. He's a kid. And they thought he was no. You can't go up there. Get back in. Get
Can you
back
imagine
over the line.
If the bus took off or the truck left him behind? He's like, wait,
I'm
supposed to be on. This is my parade.
Soak it in, young man. It must be awesome. It must be awesome. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is, cameras are always rolling. Mics are always on.
They are.
A Texas A&M coach was caught on camera telling recruits that they will get paid a lot of money by those guys behind those suites as they were touring Kyle Field.
Wow.
Now, here's the deal. Is that illegal now?
No, I don't think it's illegal.
It just doesn't. It's just not a good look.
You know what? It's like, here's the thing.
3 years ago, that guy is fired.
No doubt. Absolutely. That's the thing, right? Okay. Forgive me, loyal audience, for me going down another rabbit hole that you hear me all the time. We do this all the time. So roll your eyes, hit me up on Twitter and tell me to find another analogy. I'm not going to find another analogy. This is just like marijuana and gambling.
Yep.
We go, how dare he have marijuana? He smoked. He should be suspended. He should never be allowed to play it again. And what happens? Hey, what's the big deal? It's only marijuana. I don't understand. Why are we getting all worked up over marijuana? That's crazy. The league should take it off the banned substance list. Gambling, same thing. Oh, gambling. How dare you? And now everybody does it on their phone. This is what it is. You're right. 3 years ago, I'm offended. I'm offended. Fire him. He should never be allowed near young men ever in his life. He should be working in a totally different industry. Get him away out of coaching. 3 years later, that's what we all do. Of course, that's exactly what you do. If you gathered if you gathered them all up and said, hey, by the way, let's do a gentleman's agreement. None of us mention possible NIL deals to recruits. Like, that's off the table.
Can we make it one of the unwritten rules?
Yeah, one of the unwritten rules that when you bring a recruit in, don't tell them about the money. Don't introduce them to sponsors and business people. Just take them around the campus, show them the pretty girls, show them the stadium, but don't tell them about NIL. And everyone went, okay, we'll all abide by that. And then 15 seconds after they leave the room, they all break it.
Of course.
That's what this is.
And that's what it really was, because it was, my Twitter feed, when I was seeing this, it was mainly Texas fans complaining.
Yeah, right.
Oh, he shouldn't be doing that. I thought, you can't talk about that. And it's right. Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I mean,
wait till your coach does it tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing it for years, and now it's just, public.
Yep.
That you can literally say those guys in those suites who those people who ran out those suites all around Kyle Field, up there, they're going to be paying you a lot if you decide to become an Aggie.
Come on over. Breaking in the money.
I mean, you look at it, it's like, what did he say wrong?
That's right. Nick Saban was kind of onto something. Just a little bit. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is a Swedish food company. I think it's called Oomph.
Oomph?
O-U-M-P-H with an apostrophe, with an exclamation.
Let's go with that.
Oomph. Great name, by the way. But, all right.
This is a food company.
This is a food company, okay. And this might be on your grill for the 4th of July coming up. Probably not, because we're red-blooded Americans. But they created a plant-based vegan burger.
Okay.
That tastes like human flesh.
Why?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Well, you got me on the vegan burger because I was like, well, we have those.
Yes.
So that's not a...
But apparently it tastes like human flesh, and some say it has the texture of human flesh, and the only question I have is, how do you know?
Who's the guy that said that, and why aren't we watching him a lot more closely?
Right. I mean, it's Sweden, so that's their problem, not ours.
This tastes just like Bob.
What?
What? Oh, did I say Bob? I'm sorry. I meant Cobb. Ah.
Yeah, cow. Yeah, I get my B's and W's mixed up all the time.
I sometimes say completely different words than I actually mean. Sorry about that.
Apparently, though, it did win an award. It won the Silver Brand Experience and Activation Lion at this year's Cannes Lion Festival of Creativity.
All right. I got another inappropriate question.
Go for it.
If somehow, some way, somebody legally ate cooked human flesh, would it be inappropriate for that person to say, it's actually delicious? Say, I know you had to think about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, no.
Right? Like if I said, when I die, you can cut me up and serve me on a platter. And they went, okay, we don't want to. He said he could. But then after, they're like, this actually tastes pretty good.
This reminds me of, it's a cooking show. I gotta find it. It creeps me out. But basically what it is, there's two or three judges up there, and they have to decide what this guy has made. Like, what food product is it? This was a meat-based dish, and they're given, like, three choices. Was this shark? Was this, you know, just oxtail? Or was it human flesh? And all three judges, or I think it was two, it doesn't really matter, they were sitting there like, well, I hope it's this. I hope it's that. And they actually ate human flesh. And you see these chefs, you know, these are chefs who are judging. Their faces drop like...
How did they get the human flesh?
I don't know.
Like, I think in most places it's illegal.
Not in all places. You said most, so it's not all.
Because that comes down to a big question, right? Which I've always had with I've said this with my kids and my wife. Like, we've had these kind of weird conversations because I like to do that. I like to throw out weird questions. My family rolls their eyes and goes, ugh. But I said, okay, pick an animal that you think you would never want to eat, right? An animal like that other countries eat, but you don't think you'd eat, like maybe horse or dolphin or whatever. But let's say you ate it. Kangaroo. Let's say you ate it and you went, this is actually good. Like, this is actually good. Does the idea of what you're eating still override the actual taste of the food? Like, I actually like horse, but I can't eat horse. I can't do it. Even though actually it tastes good. Like that kind of thing. So that's kind of my thought with this. So,
anyway. Well, I mean, for this one, though, I mean, what was funny is these judges had no idea. They weren't told ahead of time that, hey, you could be eating human flesh today as you're judging.
Oh, see, that's awful. That's terrible. What? Oh, television. Good God. Good God. Who makes these decisions?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But so, yeah, but
the
if you want.
The ratings must have been terrible. And they just like finally was, yeah. All right, we'll go to the human flesh category.
Yeah, we're not jumping the shark today, Johnny. We're jumping the human.
That's right. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. Thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Again, two big pieces of news. USC, UCLA heading over to the Big Ten. And Kevin Durant said, I want a trade. All right. We'll get back to the college football news from yesterday. USC and UCLA. I hate to say this because I don't think Lincoln Riley's motives of going to USC were kind of what people said.
Do you think that USC said, listen, this is our plan?
All right. But there was a lot of people who said Lincoln Riley wants out of Oklahoma because he doesn't want to go to the go in the SEC. And he could be the big fish in the Pac-12. And now he's like, oh, okay. So I don't know, though. I don't know if that was his motivation.
Well, what I love was
USC,
that...
Because I think USC is... I think it's a better job than Oklahoma.
Maybe I have my timelines confused, but did he know Oklahoma was already going to the SEC, or did... Which happened first?
Yeah, the rumors of the SEC going to the
or
conference... Oklahoma going to the SEC were around.
Before he bolted?
He would have stuck his finger in the wind and realized what was happening. When he was
but it hadn't been officially announced.
No, I don't think it had been officially announced that by then. So, But now he's going to have to deal with taking USC on the road to Camp Randall when it's 22 degrees outside.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
It's going to be weird.
Are these guys.
It's one thing when they go to play Notre Dame in like late November. I mean, and it's cold and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's fine. But I mean, imagine the game of the week in the Big Ten is Ohio State USC, and it's played in Columbus just before the Michigan game, and it's flurries and cold.
Or when he's up in Wisconsin or Minnesota. Yeah. Now all I picture is the USC football team trying to exit the airport and looking like the Jamaican bobsled team,
right,
in Cool exactly. Runnings, where they just stop and like, we're not getting out.
They did make a point. Somebody made a point on Twitter yesterday that one of the byproducts of this is that the Big Ten championship game can be played at the Rams Stadium.
Oh,
in Los
there
Angeles.
It is.
Like you can now go. They can go there. They don't have to, but they can. That can be up. But they also pointed out that USC could play Oregon in the Rose Bowl now.
That's true.
It's going to be a little weird. But nevertheless, this is the changing landscape of college athletics. Let me just say that I know there's a lot of people that are, my age or older that cringe a little bit with all of this. It's a little it's almost like it's too much change, right? It's like, you've lived in a house for 30 years and then your kids want to move you to an old folks home and you're like, no, I know exactly where the kitchen is and the bathroom is and I ain't leaving. Like, I don't want change. I don't want to make new friends. I don't want to live in a new place. I don't want to learn where the, stuff is. I want to just know where I've lived in this house for 30 years. That's the way you kind of look at college sports. No, I want my Big Ten in the Midwest. I want my Pac-12 over there. I want my big SEC over here. I want my Texas and Oklahoma over here. I don't like all of this, right? Money, 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 money. Well, what's going on so differently in terms of the dollars that weren't around back in the day? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is, and it's that live sports programming is the one thing everybody wants. It's the DVR-proof product in a new age of technology. I never watch television shows when it's on TV at its regular time. Never. Never. I watch, if I have a favorite sitcom or I have a favorite drama or whatever, I tape it, I watch it 2 days later. I may watch it that night. I may watch it when I have seven of them in the can. But sports programming is the one DVR-proof thing that you can buy that advertisers are attracted to. I know every one of us has DVR'd sports because sometimes we have a baseball game for our son or whatever. But the reality of it is that most people make appointment viewing when it comes to sports. We watch the Super Bowl when it's on. We watch the NBA Finals when it's on, NCAA Finals when it's on, and college football when it's on. And that's why media rights are through the roof, because these sports entities know that, so they don't mind getting in a bidding war. Yeah, you want live programming? You want our football? Yeah, well, so-and-so's paying this, and you want to pay more, and then they'll come back with more, and they'll come back with more, because everybody wants a piece of this. Advertisers want a piece of this, and the networks want a piece of this. Now streaming wants to get a piece of it. Right? I mean, you got Netflix wanting to figure out how they can get in the world of live sports that Amazon's diving into. Right? It's the thing everybody wants. So, whereas ABC would have the rights to, I don't know, a college football package that was X amount of dollars, now ESPN ABC is going after those same teams in that same conference for X times 1,000. And that's where you get the piece of the pie. And these schools know who they are. They know their value. If you're USC, there's absolutely no reason. I'm sorry. I know this disrupts the college sports landscape. But if you're USC, there is absolutely no reason why you should take a check for less than $20 million for your media rights. That's crazy. You're USC, for crying out loud. You go in with Ohio State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, and you can double, if not come close to tripling that in years to come, you do it. Because your student athletes depend on it, your university depends on it, and your pride depends on it. I know it's weird to say, but you're USC. Go get the dollars. So yeah, it's a shock, but it shouldn't be all that surprising. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, the big news yesterday kind of came out of nowhere was USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, leaving the Pac-12. I thought this was really, really shocking. Matt Michelle joins us, the Orlando Sentinel, helps us always with the college football news, and he joins us now to sort of help me help process this a little bit. Did this come out of nowhere, Matt?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I may not have been out of nowhere for Big Ten officials who've been kind of maybe working on this, but I think this was kind of out of left field, and I don't think the Big Ten really kind of pushed to get this going. I think this became obviously USC and UCLA were looking around and looking at the landscape and saw that the Pac-12, you know, was way behind when you talk about revenue in regards to the SEC and the Big Ten. It was time to make a move and reached out to the Big Ten. And I think obviously the Big Ten, was eager to, you know, to add these two properties, so to speak, and help, you know, boost their footprint. So the biggest thing is how quiet it was. Normally these kind of moves, you get a little bit of a hint here or there, maybe something was going on. We didn't get any sort of thing like that. It just kind of came out of nowhere yesterday afternoon.
Was it surprising that UCLA and USC, and again, I think they would be the big presence in a room of all the teams if they were to get together in a conference room, they would have the biggest presence. Are you surprised that they didn't say, hey, how can we make this conference better? We'd rather be in a better Pac-12 than go to the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, just based on what the direction of the Pac-12, I mean, you look around and, you know, it last, you know, decade or so, you know, the Pac-12 has really struggled, especially with its media rights deals. They felt like, you know, they weren't the best deals possible. You know, remember, you know, several years ago when they created the Pac-12 network, they thought that was going to be the thing that was going to help put them on the map, so to speak, when it came to money and media rights deals. And it just never did. It never materialized. And, you know, I think, you know, George Klickoff comes around and, you know, he's the new, you know, commissioner, and I think people thought, okay, maybe that'll change. And if you look around and you don't feel like you're getting the best deal possible, I mean, you've got to figure out, okay, what can we do to make this work? And you look at the Big Ten, you look at the SEC, and you think, okay, well, these are the conferences that are obviously making the big moves. They're the ones that are going to, you know, that are the head of all this. What can we do to be a part of that? And I think, you know, you reach out and say, listen, we're interested in leaving. What are you guys interested in taking us? Well, the Big Ten would be stupid if they said no. I mean, they're looking around. I don't care about geography anymore. I'm looking at the fact that the Big Ten now holds media markets in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia. I mean, you've got major media markets now. And you know, if you're the Big Ten, you're thinking, okay, yeah, this is a great deal for us, and it's going to help expand everything. Now, how is that going to affect other sports outside of football and basketball remains to be seen, but this to me seems like a no-brainer for them. So I think that's why USC and UCLA said, listen, we're just going to make the move. We're going to go. It's going to pay off in the long run. And we're a major glitzy market. We should be in one of those big conferences.
If you're the Big Ten now and you have a conference that has 16 teams and you go coast to coast from sea to shining sea, it seems like everybody now is in play. If you were once a little bit hesitant because of geography, well, this blows this out the window. There's no reason why you can't go after anybody that's interested in you.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the days of geography limiting your conferences are gone. I just think that right now, that it's a whole new ballgame when we come to this. I mean, I think everyone's looking around and thinking, what can we do to make these things work? I think what the Big Ten is looking at is like, listen, we're in the middle of negotiating our TV media rights deal. We're talking with ESPN. We're talking with Fox. We're talking to try to get a big new deal. Well, now this opens the play. I mean, if I'm those TV providers, I'm like all of a sudden even more intrigued. I get the LA market now. That's great. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that gives us more eyes. I mean, so all of a sudden what could have been a pretty good deal for Big Ten, even a great deal, just got elevated 100 times more. And I think now you're looking around, if you're the Big Ten, you think, okay, we're at 16 teams. We may go two more. We may sometime, and maybe the future, they said they aren't going to do that now, but maybe the future, we want to pluck out an Oregon or a Washington or a Stanford. I think what the Big Ten really has its eyes set on is Notre Dame. I think
yeah.
They would love to get Notre Dame joining. I think if they got Notre Dame, I think then all of a sudden the Big Ten becomes the premier conference in college athletics. But it's going to be a hard sell because Notre Dame has spent so much time telling people they're not interested in joining a conference at this point.
It is so wild when you talk about geography. It doesn't seem that long ago we were like, what about the West Virginia volleyball team? How are they going to go to Lubbock? That's ridiculous. It doesn't seem to bother anybody anymore. That being said, let's touch on Notre Dame a little bit. You're right. They've been, obviously, all the years that they're hesitant to join a conference, and they don't have to. But in the end, do you see them seeing a bit, like, is college football creating a better landscape for them to finally jump in the pool of being a part of a conference football-wise?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think what's going to eventually happen is, I think Notre Dame, you know, throughout the fall, I think Notre Dame's going to continue to remain independent for the next maybe couple of years. But I think they're looking around, and they're going to say, okay, well, you know, being independent isn't necessarily feasible, financially feasible for us anymore. You know what I mean? Because you're looking around and what are going to give you the best opportunities to, you know, to get into the college football playoff, to get into the, you know, to have a good spot at the table for the NCAA tournament. What are we going to do that's going to help us get to that position? You know, if the playoff expands to, you know, to 12, I mean, imagine, you know, what could happen in the next couple of years if the Pac-12 crumbles or if they decide to do something like join the Big 12 and merge into a super conference. You know, this seems to be the trend we're heading towards is super conferences. And if that's the case, you know, Notre Dame might be thinking, okay, it's now it's going to be the time. Now or never is going to be the time to do something like this. But, I mean, there are going to be a lot of suitors for Notre Dame. And I mentioned Big Ten. The ACC, listen, Notre Dame's already got most of its sports in the ACC right now. The ACC has talked about trying to get Notre Dame to come in as a full member of football. They saw the benefit of it was in 2020 during the pandemic season when they were in there for that 1 year, and you saw what they were able to do. They got ACC got two teams in the playoff. So there's only a lot of suitors. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if the SEC didn't throw its hat in the ring on this one, you know, saying we're interested in that. Now, whether Notre Dame is ready to make that move, I think it's something that's probably going to have to remain to be seen in the next couple of years.
Outside of maybe the Pac-12, and this answer might be a little bit more obvious, but which conference did you think panicked a bit by this news? Who got a little worried that they were going to start getting poached, whether it was by the Big Ten or maybe the SEC, who's looking around going, yeah, we'll devour some of these teams up too?
I think the ACC. I think the ACC now is looking around and thinking, the only thing that saves the ACC is they've got a grant of rights deal they just signed a couple of years ago. That extends to 2036. That's a really tough sell, you know, to for a school to get either. But if you're the SEC, why not look around now and say, what about Florida State? What about North Carolina? What about Miami? What about Clemson? You know, why wouldn't you grab some of those schools, expand your footprint again even more, and, you know, add value to your conference? Go up to maybe like a 20-team conference and, you know, find a way to get these schools, you know, away from the ACC. So I think if you're the ACC, all of a sudden you're a little nervous. You're a little nervous because you know you've got some teams in your conference that are, there's some schools in your conference that are probably looking around going, well, listen, if this is going to happen and the SEC and Big Ten are going to be the premier conferences and they're paying their schools $110 million a year in 2029, we want to be a part of that. You know what I mean? So I'm sure there were a lot of nervous phone calls being shared, you know, among the ACC schools and the ACC leadership, just to kind of reassure everyone that they're trying to do whatever they can. I'm not sure what they can do. I mean, at this point, they're already locked into a new television deal. It's going to take something else to make something like that happen.
Matt Mitchell joins us on a Progressive Guest Line, Orlando Sentinel, on the news from college football yesterday. So this is a two-part question. Where exactly are we right now with the possible expansion of the playoff, and does this news facilitate that in any way?
I don't know if it facilitates it, but I mean, I think, you know, they're supposed to, you know, conference officials were supposed to be getting them together in August to talk about this, you know, get back together and start thinking about what they want to do to move forward, you know, with expansion of the playoff. You know, they have a little bit of room, a little bit of time now that they're going to go through to the 2025 year, you know, with the final year of the playoff. I still think they're going to expand. Now, whether they necessarily, if it's going to be 12, and if it's going to be 12, do they want to have the six, you know, the six, you know, the automatic qualifiers and six conference, you know, six automatic qualifiers, you know, where the conferences get their spot in the playoff automatically. I'm not sure if that's going to be on the table necessarily, especially as you don't know what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years. You know, like I said, if the Big Ten wants to add something in the future, if the SEC wants to reach out, if the Big 12 wants to be aggressive and they want to try to pluck an Oregon or a Washington or someone or Arizona State, you know, into their league, you know, then all bets are off because you may not see the Pac-12 survive. And so, you know, I think there's this, it makes these discussions all of a sudden a little bit more tenuous. Now, listen, the whole reason that the expansion talk broke down in the first place was because SEC gets Texas and Oklahoma, and all of a sudden people are looking around and seeing the landscape change. Well, the landscape has continued to change. It's crumbling in some ways. So I think, you know, if you're a conference commissioner, you've got to be really worried what's going to happen in the next 3 or 4 years. Are we going to have these conferences? And if you're the Big Ten and SEC, and, you know, I know Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, kind of hinted at this, you know, why not look around at your own playoff system? Why jump in with everyone else? Why not think to yourself, we don't really necessarily need this. We could form our own with the Big Ten, and we'd have a pretty good playoff system in its own right. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I'm sure that's something that's probably going to be in the back of the mind.
All right, let's go to the Pac-12. Losing these two is a huge blow. No offense to Oregon, but these are the monsters of your conference. What do they do now? Like, are they looking around now? Do they try to get four to make up for two? How do they figure this one out?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to try to do. They have to look around and think what's the best option. You know, and again, how do you do that? You know, do you try to go for like the Big 12 and say, okay, we're going to try to convince some of these Big 12 schools, hey, come on, join us. You know, come over. Whether, you know, it's like an Oklahoma State, or whether you bring someone else in there, you know, or does the Pac-12, you know, if they can't convince the Big 12 schools to leave, you know, do they just go, you know, to a Group of Five route? Do they go to like the Mountain West, for instance? They look at a school like Boise State, they look at like Fresno State, and they add a couple schools like that. I'm not sure if that helps them at all. I don't think that gives them much value when you're talking about, you know, revenue, television revenue, and eyes on TVs. And I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to get those other schools to feel very confident in the direction of the Pac-12. If you're telling me, you know, the Boise States and the Fresno States or the San Diego States are going to help us, you know, salvage our conference. So I think they have to look around. I mean, and who knows? Like I mentioned before, I mean, you know, if they're really thinking outside the box and you go to the Big 12 and you think, let's sit down and let's talk about maybe merging. Let's maybe put together our own super conference and we bring everyone together and you see, you know, it's a 2022 member conference. You know, we just find a way to make it work. So right now, I know there's a lot of Pac-12 officials that are trying to figure out what's the next best move. I think for the leadership of the Pac-12, it's trying to keep everyone calm while they try to figure out what's going to happen next.
Wild times. Matt, always good having you on, my friend. Thank you so much for helping us process all of this news that blew us up yesterday. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. Take care.
You got it. Matt Michelle, Orlando Sentinel, our progressive guest line. Yeah, it like you said, people even in the know didn't see this one coming. It came and it was unanimous vote and boom, there you go. We're seeing a different landscape of college football, but it's changing kind of all the time. We'll come back. So we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks to Matt Michelle talking college football with us. Yesterday, the LIV Golf Tour had its opening round in Portland. There were protests. Of course there were. There are going to be protests when they go to New Jersey. There'll probably be protests when they go to Florida. But I found a snippet of a story on Twitter. So I'm gonna preface this by saying I have no idea if this is true, but it came from a pretty good golf source, and the story goes like this. If you want to really know how much the Saudi money is infiltrating this golf tour, here's the story. So Pumpkin Ridge has been a stop on the Corn Ferry Tour for a couple of years. Now, the Corn Ferry Tour is like the minor leagues of golf. Like, you play on that to get your card for the PGA Tour. If you don't get on the tour right away, if you're looking to place to still be a traveling golf pro, you're in the minor leagues. And there's this farmer, and he had a farm near the golf course. And every year when the Corn Ferry Tour came, he would allow Pumpkin Ridge to use his farm as a parking lot for the event, obviously for a little cost, but he always said yes. This year, Pumpkin Ridge went to him and said, we would like to use your farm for a parking lot for our event. And he said no, because he had a problem with the golf tour. He didn't like it. Too many protests. He said, no, you can't use my land for the parking lot. Out of nowhere, his farm sold for $2 million, four times more than it was worth. They have no idea who bought it, but just before the golf court tournament, somebody came in and bought it for $2 million. Now there's parking. There you go. I actually believe that story. I think that's like legitimately true. So that's what's happening. So yeah, you just hold out. I guess he might have held out knowing where the money was. Like, well, the Corn Ferry Tour, you guys pay me this amount of money, but I'm going to say no, because deep down I know somebody's going to come knocking on my door with a suitcase full of cash. And that's what they did. It's really interesting how that's working out. But Carlos Ortiz is the leader, if you want to know, and he leads Dustin Johnson by one. 5 under par for Carlos Ortiz.
Which team is winning?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Which team is winning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Team Dragon? Is that one of the teams? Armadillo? Yeah.
Team Dolphin?
Dolphin.
What are some names kids have for soccer? Cheetahs?
Yeah.
Cheetahs.
Power Rangers?
Power Rangers. Yeah. Just... It's like little children making up names.
Well, they made the logo, so why not
draw the logos out on a piece of paper with crayon, and they might as well come up with the team names too.
All the sense in the world.
You got it. All right, hour three coming up next. Again, back to the NBA. We'll talk to our good friend Lee Ellis. He'll help us break all of that down from yesterday's free agency, including Kevin Durant saying, "Yeah, I want out of Brooklyn." So we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.